Hello, and welcome to American Pale Males. I am your 4 of 4 co-host, Jeremy. And with me, as always, is...
It's Michael, back again.
Back again.
With a face-to-facer.
In the house.
That's right. Should we do some beer brags, Jeremy, as
Michael,
we always do?
Let's do some beer brags. What do you got for me today?
All right. I have two beers I want to talk about. And these come from the Great Dane Brewery, back where I hail from.
Of course.
Yes, so being a bit of an ambassador here. So the first one was called Wild Pitch Whip. And these are both their seasonal varieties, so who knows if they're even on tap anymore, but they're interesting to talk about anyway. So Wild Pitch Whip was a decent, nice, light, weedy flavor wit beer, obviously. The only problem with it was it had a strange smell to it, which kept throwing me off. It had a real, kind of a nasty, like, garbagey smell to it. It tasted fine.
Like, hot garbage sort of smell? Or...
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm assuming it's called Wild Pitch. Maybe it used wild yeast, and that, maybe that was a weird yeast that was
giving
it
that. Here's your
stank.
Stank.
So, I would probably go for their Crop Circle wheat, which is similar, a little more robust than this one was too. So I gave that one a 3.25. Decent flavor, but every time I put my mouth into the glass, it just, that smell was so striking. The other one was called Mosaic Smashed, a double IPA. Very good. High ABVs in the 8s somewhere. And for me, I like those higher ABV IPAs. Kind of helps balance the flavor a little bit. I presume the main or only hop was Mosaic, which I found quite agreeable. I love that flavor.
It's a pretty great hop.
So I gave it a 4 because I liked it a lot. Nice strong beer with a nice strong flavor. Couldn't complain too much there. Jeremy, you've had some good beer brags already. I want to hear another one
from you. And I'm going to get another one for you.
Good.
So, as I stated on our first episode together, I recently went up to Red's Ale House in North Liberty. They had a Bell's Brewery tap takeover.
Mm-hmm.
At the previous one I had talked about was the double two-hearted pale ale.
That's right.
And my beer brag...
There's not a triple two-hearted pale ale, is there?
No.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge, anyways. What I'm going to talk about this time is a double IPA called The Oracle.
Oh.
By
that's
Bell's.
That's a cool name.
It's a very cool name. As you can see by this picture that I'm attempting to show Michael, it has an odd reddish hue to it.
Oh, yeah. That bottle is very cool, too.
It does come in bottles. It's extremely expensive, from what I can gather.
Mm-hmm.
It tops in at a nasty 10% alcohol.
Nice.
It has an IBU of 90, and it's slightly less in both category than the double two-hearted ale,
mm-hmm.
but the Oracle is a much harsher pale ale.
Okay. A little raw.
It's very raw. It does not have any of the smooth edges of a two-hearted or the double two-hearted for that matter. And it is abrasive, to say the least.
Okay.
Yet again, another one I'm glad that I could only have a 4.5
right,
ounce
yeah,
taste
yeah.
of it. But the Oracle is my beer brag. You can find it at some places for about $20 for a 4-pack. But I had it on tap. It was great, even though it was full-on assault on the senses.
That's cool, though.
Indeed.
I've never seen that before.
I had not either, but since I've had it, I've been seeing it in stores.
Okay.
One actually right up the street from here. Michael, you've been weekin'. You've been geeking. What's your weekin' geek?
What's your weekin' geek? This one I was kind of saving for when I was recording with you, Jeremy, because we're both fans of wrestling.
Indeed, we are.
So I've been listening to a new podcast. It's called Tights and Fights.
Interesting.
And this is on the Maximum Fun Network. It's brand new. They're up to, I think at the time this is out, maybe episode 10 or so, give or take a few. And it's about wrestling, obviously. And I already listened to a few wrestling podcasts, but this one is a little different from what I've heard that's out there. Even though the hosts have been watching for a long time, they don't seem as jaded or dismissive. They're a little more positive about what they're talking about.
It's always a plus.
They focus on a lot of what actually happened rather than fantasy booking and trying to predict what's going to happen.
Thank you, because that gets very irritating very quick.
Yeah. Fantasy booking is basically somebody trying to set up the next 6 months of matches.
Well, if I could do it, I would.
Yeah, exactly. And it never happens that way anyway, so it's like... they focus less on dirt sheet news, although the past few episodes I've been listening to, they did bring up some dirt sheet news, which is kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Del Rio!
Yeah, who's getting fired, who's getting heat, who's getting pushed, you know, who did the bosses like backstage, who do they hate? So it's looking good. It's also less than an hour, which the other two wrestling podcasts I listen to range from 2 to 4 hours long. Jeez. So they just go on and on and on. So this one's nice and compact. They talk about what's good. If you like wrestling, check out this podcast because it's a little more cleaner, not so jaded. They also have a female on there too, which
is a rarity in the field.
Right. So it's not just a bunch of guys. They're actually, yeah. And it's on Maximum Fun, which is the network that the McElroys are on. So I'm hoping that Griffin McElroy, who I'm a big fanboy of, will be on it. He's been on other wrestling podcasts, but I think this might be his de facto one if he ever does another wrestling podcast.
I will check out that.
Yeah.
Well, Michael.
What do you got?
Wrestling podcasts are all well and good.
Mm-hmm.
But this coming weekend, yet again, we're taping ahead of time.
Right.
This coming weekend, I'm going to my 5th year of Riot Fest.
Oh,
in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah. Riot Fest, for the uninitiated, is a 3-day event in lovely Douglas Park, mm-hmm. on the south-ish side of Chicago. It was a series of club shows. They would book out every club in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and they would give you a hopper pass, so you could buy this one pass. You could go to any show that you wanted whenever you wanted, mm-hmm. or you could just buy a ticket for show A, just go to that one and be fine.
Oh, okay.
5 years ago, they transformed it into an outdoor all-day
kind of
event.
Music festival,
sort of like a Lollapalooza,
yeah.
or a Bonnaroo, or
yeah.
something of that nature.
Sure.
What sets this one apart is that it focuses strictly on stuff that doesn't get a ton of mainstream play.
Yeah.
The Pitchforks, the Lollapaloozas, they all have things that will... They might not be known, but it's right in the wheelhouse, so there's nothing terribly scary for
right.
anyone who's out of the loop.
Right.
They'll get the, you know, the Guided by Voices reunion. Riot Fest has pulled off some of the biggest coups in getting reunions in recent
years.
Oh,
really?
In 2013, they reunited the Replacements out of Minneapolis, Minnesota,
okay.
for the first time in 22 years.
I think I heard something about that. I mean, that even cropped up on my radar, and I know you're really into music.
It was phenomenal. It was like they had not missed a beat.
Oh, wow.
It was not... The Replacements were notorious for having just sloppy, drunken, anything-goes shows. And while this wasn't sloppy or drunken, it did have that feel, spontaneity,
uh-huh.
that a lot of these big festivals don't have. Like, they just like, oh yeah, hey, we didn't play that song after someone yells at them from the crowd. They reunited NWA without Dr. Dre before Coachella did it.
Okay.
Last year. They reunited Samhain, however you want to pronounce it. We'll get to them.
Okay.
It's in the quiz.
Okay.
They had Pussy Riot come and give a talk. They've had Henry Rollins come and talk to one of the members of the West Memphis Three.
Oh, wow.
This year they've got the biggest get they've ever gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which I'll come to again in a bit. But this year the bands range from anything from Nas to the Flaming Lips,
okay.
to Rob Zombie,
whoa.
To NoFX, to the Vandals, to Swingin' Up. I mean, the list goes on
yeah.
and on and on. There's hundreds and hundreds of bands. It's always a great time. What differentiates this one, in my mind, is that when you and I had gone to Lollapalooza, it seemed like there were a lot of people there strictly to be there.
Right.
And not necessarily to be there to, like, listen to the music.
Right.
They went there because that's what they were supposed to do.
Smoke some doobs or
Smoke
something.
Smoke some doobs. Eat some shrooms, do whatever they have to do. But
yeah, this is more about the music.
And while that does happen
right,
at any
sure.
music festival,
right.
this one is a lot more about the music, it feels to me. Oh, yeah, and I don't know why I didn't mention it. The Prodigy played last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
I nearly got a
Prodigy.
Seizure watching their light show. It
okay.
was beyond insane.
Okay.
So, Michael, I have a quiz for you. So, you're going to have to bear down for this one. Breathe deep.
Okay.
I believe in you.
All right.
Biggest headlining band in the festival's history. And of the weekend, obviously, features the Misfits reuniting their three biggest core members for the first time in 33 years.
Okay.
These three are Jerry Only, Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein, and this man. Hint, He once purchased a pool from Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Danzig, right?
It is Glenn Danzig. The Misfits have reunited for their first time in 33 years. If their show at Riot Fest Denver is any indication, I may come back with a footprint on my face.
There's some, I don't know if you've seen this, there's some, like, technically as a meme, but a video that went out a while ago of Danzig reading, like, the apocryphal gospels or something like that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd seen that, but I do like the meme of him buying kitty litter.
Okay. I'll look for that one, too.
Question two. This is the fifth year the festival has been a localized outdoor festival, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Two bands have played every year.
Oh.
Gwar is one of them.
All right.
And this man. Hint.
Okay. I need that.
He was once hired by Meatwad, Master Shake, and Carl to cheer up a cancer-ridden Frylock.
Andrew W.K.
That's correct.
Thank you for that hint. So this is kind of Riot Fest / Aqua Teen quiz.
For now.
A little bit, okay.
2 years ago, this Atlanta sludge metal quartet opened for thrash metal godfather Slayer on the Rebel stage. Who are they? Hint! They played the brutal snacks threatening to cut the talking audience members in front of the Aqua Teen movie.
Oh,
now,
God.
This one, I've given you multiple choice.
Okay.
Are they Kylesa? Are they Huntress? Are they Mastodon? Or are they Baroness?
Well, those are all, like, one-word names that are pretty awesome. I know what you're talking about with the Aqua Teen movie, but...
A terrible movie, by the way. That's not a good movie.
I saw it in the theater, and...
I believe I was with you.
It was really weird. I don't know. I'm going to guess Mastodon.
You would be correct.
Woo!
3 for 3, Michael. This one is going to break the trend a little bit.
Okay.
This South African rap group played Riot Fest 2 years ago as well. They're known for a very intense live show and played lightly fictionalized versions of themselves in Chappie. Are they Pizza Underground, which is Macaulay Culkin's pizza-themed Velvet Underground cover band? Are they Wu-Tang Clan? Are they D.A. Entourd? Or are they De La Soul?
Well, I know the Wu is from Staten Island.
Shaolin.
Is he?
It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah?
You clearly have not listened to enough Wu.
No.
Onward.
Okay. I don't think it's... I'm going to go with the third one.
D.A. Entourd?
Yes.
You would be correct.
Woo! I think you gave me some good multiple choices to focus in on that one, and I appreciate that. Pizza Underground.
We have the hardest one for last.
Okay.
And this one's intense. It's really going to test your Aqua Teen and Riot Fest knowledge. After playing this year's Riot Fest, Chicago punk rock supergroup The Falcon will be bringing back a time-honored tradition of having a comedian open for the band.
Okay.
Who is this comedian that will be opening for The Falcon on their fall tour? Hint, he played the role of Dr. Balthasar in Season 9 of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He is also known for his specials Whiskey Icarus and I Liked His Old Stuff Better.
Okay. Oh, no multiple choice?
Here's your multiple choice.
Okay.
I was seeing if you would get it.
I have a guess, but...
Is it Brian Posehn?
Okay.
Is it Scott Aukerman? Is it Kyle Kinane? Or is it Patton Oswalt?
I'm going to go Kyle Kinane.
Correct.
All right.
4 out of 5, Michael. It's good times. Good work. I know it's not your strong suit, but...
I think you had a good balance with the hint and multiple choices. You gave me a fair shake, so...
I did give you a fair shake, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
What's that guy that hangs out on top of
various
Ray Cerveza?
Pictures? Yeah. It's FDR. He's
what
here.
What does he stand for?
He stands for find, drink, rate, as in beer. Find a beer, drink a beer, and rate a beer. Jeremy... I understand that you have brought a beer to do just that with.
We have brought a beer. We have Big Grove Brewery, 3rd anniversary. Now, Big Grove Brewery is a brewery not too far from here. It's in Solon, Iowa, which is about 12, 15 miles from here.
Going local for the
going very local, but you need to check this place out. Okay. I've been saying it for years.
You have three years, in fact.
3 years, oddly enough. In those 3 years, along with Lionbridge and Turner Alley, it's become one of the very best breweries in the corridor, and some say in the entire state of Iowa.
Okay.
Now, with stuff like Toppling Goliath, this is no small feat,
but true.
From what I have had from Big Grove, that is completely apt.
Mm-hmm.
They've been dipping their toes into sours with a series of K-Q-U-E sours, such as
Okay.
Que Onda Retaca,
okay, okay.
Que Sera, and so on. Mm-hmm. But they've made also a crazy second anniversary Russian Imperial Stout called mm-hmm. Richard the Whale, which I had last year. It's truly phenomenal. They also did several variants while they were there, including a coffee one, a vanilla one, and a nice Wayne's World throwback, in which they put pralines and other nuts into the beer, and they call it Pralines and Richard.
Okay.
Do you get the joke?
I don't.
If Benjamin was a flavor of ice cream, he would be pralines.
Oh, yeah, you get okay, it. Okay, that's funny.
It took me a little while to get that one, probably about a year, but when I was up there getting the beer, it finally clicked, and it made me giggle. Despite all this, they've made their name on Red IPAs, Red's IPAs, mm-hmm. excuse me. And their third anniversary is no different. Third anniversary, Plan A, is a 12.5% ABV IPA. It's a triple. It has a massive malt backbone, dense and rich with candied fruit flavor. It's dry-hopped with Simcoe, Mosaic, Southern Cross, and Columbus to balance the caramel sweetness and a dank herbal, pine, berry, citrus, and apricot aromatics.
But
it's also $40 a growler.
Right, so.
So, we have third anniversary Plan B, which is a 5.4% ale, pale ale. The grains still had plenty to give, producing a mild biscuity malt character in the body with a light oak hue. Wakatu, Columbus, and Cascade make this dry hop bright and zesty with citrus aromatics. It still echoes some of its siblings' fruit sweetness, but just a touch drier on the finish. Now, there's not a lot on Big Grove's right. brewery about themselves, so I'm wondering, have you ever heard of the idea of second runnings or multiple runnings
no,
of beer?
No, so
this is a second running beer.
This is the first time. This is a neat concept, so yeah, explain this. Why Plan A and Plan B and what exactly we're getting into.
So the idea with a multiple running beer is if you're making a giant, massive triple IPA in this case, mm-hmm. you're going to use a ton of grain in your ton. You pour the water over it, you leach out all of the goodness from mm-hmm. them, all the sugars that are requested, you pour it off, and you boil it with your hops, and you make your beer
Like normal.
But what people sometimes don't realize is that when you produce a wort off a beer, you're not getting everything out of the grains necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, with a second runnings beer, they took the same grains that they used on the first one and made another wort out of them. Now, some of the sugars and fermentables have already been pulled out,
mm-hmm.
obviously,
right.
but there's still enough to give.
Yeah.
Most second runnings that I've had, so two, have been very light, table beers, almost like a 3.8, 4.0. So the fact that this thing clocks in at 5.4% alcohol, which is a normal beer, don't get me wrong,
right.
it's remarkable considering they already pulled 12.5% alcohol out.
Right,
of it
that is
once.
Incredible.
It's a fascinating concept, and it gives you a good idea on how just what grains you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
and it also gives you the ability to kind of mess with the recipe a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're going to try, Simcoe Mosaic, Southern Cross, and Columbus hops in one of them. We're going to try, let's get Wakatu, Columbus, and Cascade in this next one. We'll see how they compare against one another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no reason to believe that this will be anything less than great. I have not had this yet. It was just released last week.
We got the growler here.
The growler was purchased on Thursday. It is now a Saturday.
Yeah.
So we are ready to go, Michael.
Right. I have to say that I'm almost kind of glad we're trying, as awesome as that Plan A sounds, for $40 is a lot for a growler. I'm actually more curious about, I don't think I've had a second run beer before, so I'm looking forward to this one a lot,
Me
actually.
Me too. We have our rather full growler. Thank you, Big Grove.
And I probably had Big Grove maybe before at
the Chop House, correct?
Yeah, the beer barn they have there.
Indeed.
Which I had as a beer brag, which is basically a wall of beer where you pour your own flight, pint, whatever you want. And basically, I think I tried like six different Iowa beers
Indeed.
That day. So that was a great way to sample beers, but
this
is more than a sample, so I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed it is. So what do you think, Michael?
I gotta hold it up to the light here. Again, we're in a dark room.
We are in a dark room. We were told to hide.
It's hazy.
It is hazy.
It's red. Mm. Getting toward the coppery side of things.
Indeed.
But yeah, it's translucent, I guess you would say. It's
Indeed.
Like black sheet.
Michael, stick your nose in there. What do you get?
Oh, a nice bouquet of hops.
It almost smells like what happens when we throw the hops.
It does, yeah.
Into the brew kettle.
Right into the boil, yeah. Oh, very aromatic.
This smells wonderful.
And there's a real grassy note in there. Jeremy, you went in for the first taste there. What do you think?
Michael, I want to see what you think about this.
Okay, here we go.
I know what I think about it, but I want to know what you think about it, given your, not necessarily a disdain for hops, but...
This is a very...
I just ruined it. Oh my goodness, we have a wacky next door neighbor. Say hello, Steven.
Hello, Steven.
Steven.
I need some like catchphrase to come in. Like,
how about, here, Steven, try this.
Yeah, so we got Steven here. He's going to try the beer. He's smelling the beer.
He's tasting the beer.
He's tasting the beer. Can you give us a rating on the spot from just that swallow? That's a lot to process there.
This is third anniversary Plan B from Big Grove Brewery.
He's
going back for the Steve or Joe.
Steve of Judgment.
Steve of Judgment number two.
That's
more than a sip. That's a DOJ. That's a Department of Justice.
This is a lot heavier. Like, if this is the second runnings, we could probably spackle holes in the wall with the first runnings.
Do some dabs.
What do you got,
Steve? I like it.
Out of 5, untapped rating.
I'd give it a 4.25.
Ooh.
Interesting. I do too. It's a beautiful, hazy, orange, coppery color, like Michael and I said. Bye, Steve.
Bye, wacky neighbor Steve. Yeah.
I think what's most striking about this is how much it really does just smell like hop pellets. Mm-hmm. Like, straight out of the bag, hop pellets.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that's because of the dry hopping.
Dry hopping, yeah.
But...
It's a very grassy hop.
It is, very much so. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about Wakatu or Columbus, but Cascade is a very floral one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very kind of grassy... herby, floral, kind of in that department as opposed to like a spicy...
It's not spicy, it's not piney.
Right.
It just smells like you have grabbed a handful of hops and jammed them up your nose.
Mm-hmm. To me, so I guess getting more into this, so it is very hoppy. I mean, the malt is there. You wonder, it's a little on the weaker side though.
It is.
And you wonder if that's because of the second running.
It's probably almost has to be, yeah.
I really like the front end of the hops though. There's a lot of flavors dancing around on the front of my tongue, and then when it goes back, it kind of gets into that really grassy part, that really bitter part, which, again, as discussed many times on the show, is not my favorite, but it's very unique for sure.
I can't really think of an IPA that tastes like this.
Right? Yeah, I was tempted to say, oh, it's like an IPA, but. It's not quite there. It's not in a bad way, not that it's reaching a certain destination, but it's just different. It's in a different vector than an IPA is.
Does the body remind you of the Oktoberfest we had a couple episodes ago?
It does, actually, now that you say
it's,
that.
It's not thin,
mm-hmm.
and I think with this beer, given that it's more obviously more focused on the hops mm-hmm. and... leaving that wonderful bitterness on the back of your tongue.
Yeah, oh, it's still lingering after you swallow it.
I mean, this feels like it's hopped like a triple IPA. It just doesn't have that thick, syrupy...
Yeah.
Just...
malts.
Spread it on your pancake thickness that goes with it. I think that it's less of an issue in this beer than it was in the Oktoberfest because there's more to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the Oktoberfest was more of about a light...
Yeah.
Quaffable, as we say,
yeah.
experience. This one, and while you could have a few of them without like getting blotto,
yeah,
it's very delicious. I am rather fond of this beer. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of it is left. They still had kegs when I was there. Just those hops are phenomenal.
It's nice because it's a beer that you can ponder over too, rather than just a straightforward, like we've been saying, IPA. It's every time you drink it, you have to kind of consider. There's just lots of. It must be because of all the different hops that
it's
are
gotta
in
be.
There. Because it really does a nice dance across the tongue that offers a lot of different flavors.
It really does.
So, I like it in that regard, because it's one to kind of ponder.
Mm-hmm.
And I like a beer that does that.
Indeed.
In most situations.
I brang it so you can rank it.
I thought it was drank it, you rank
hey,
it.
Hey, pipe down over there. Michael.
Yeah, I'll go for it. I just have a few more sips here anyway.
What do we got? It looks like a beer. I don't know how to... I realize that sounds really, really stupid.
Yeah.
It has that nice, pleasing color that you can only get out of, like, leaves or a beer. And I, for one, am rather fond of this color. What do you think?
So I think if I tried this beer straight up, not knowing it was a second running and not knowing the types of hops in it, I'd probably appreciate it a little less. Knowing that it's a second running, though, adds a little novelty to it. And the hops that you mentioned also make me appreciate it a little more. I love the nose. That's a really good bouquet. I like that initial hop flavor, but at the end, and even as I'm talking now, it's just like sitting on the back of my tongue. And I don't specifically like that flavor that much, although I can see why other people would like it and appreciate it. So for plan
no
B...
No more hedging.
No more hedging. Yeah, I don't have any left in my glass.
Plan B.
Plan B. I'm going between two ratings.
Snap judgment right now. Say it.
3.5.
3.5. Michael, I'm going to differ with you and go to a 4.25.
Okay.
I find this to be a phenomenal beer.
I can see... Yeah, don't get me wrong on my rating. I can totally see why anybody would like this.
Your ratings do not affect mine, good sir.
Good. That's perfect.
I'm not as much of a hophead as that character Mike, but I still do quite rather enjoy a hop bomb when it's done properly. Right. Like, Ruination is... It's too much.
Yeah.
Even though the Oracle that I spoke about earlier is a little bit of a hop bomb, I couldn't have a... I don't even think they sell it in pints, but I couldn't have a pint of it without just feeling like someone had lit my tongue on fire.
Yeah.
That said, I love the different mix of hops in here. I don't know if it's the ratio. I don't know if it's the mix. I don't know if it's the weird ones I've never had before. But I really, really enjoy this. It's that perfect burst of, wow, I just got hops. And maybe that's because, you know, it's only a week old beer and presumably they were dry hopping up until
that's true, yeah.
I don't know. I don't care. This beer gets a 4.25 from me. It's delicious, and I plan on having this again.
Do you think being a home brewer helps you appreciate it more? Just because of that bouquet and...
It might. If anything, it just gives me more of a sense of knowing. It's like, okay, well, that's what that tastes like.
Yeah.
Because you can get, you know, Citra hops, you can get Simcoe, you can get Mosaic, and you can find, like, a single hop beer that will do that well. And when you move into the, we used 15 kinds of hops, then it's just like, it all gets...
I don't know what that is.
It's like white noise. It just all gets lost in the mix. However, when you use only three, and maybe not, you know, a bushel per keg,
right,
you're able to, like, pick out some of the differences in them and be like, huh, I wonder if I try this in comparison with bleh.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be able to figure out what's going on, and then that can give you more ideas for the future.
Definitely. Yes, it's definitely good. I really like the process of that. Would you ever, again, as a home brewer, try to do a second running? Although, we don't...
We have not done all grain yet, which I know, pulling back the kimono.
Yeah.
That shall change.
Okay, yeah.
That will change. I don't know if I would have enough room in a cooler mash tun to do that, because we will need a lot of grain.
Right, yeah.
But I will try.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the second running concept. It's almost an environment ale.
It is.
Rather than throwing that to the cows, let's get some more beer out of it, then throw it to the cows. Well,
precisely. I mean, they're still going to eat it and get roughage or whatever the cows get out of it.
Get some nice Iowa beef from that.
Indeed.
But,
well, Michael won't, but...
But yeah, this was a good one. I'm glad you brought it, Jeremy.
Me too, actually. I've had it, and I agree with you. I'm glad I brought it too.
Unfortunately for us... We have a whole growler left.
Indeed we do.
For some college football action coming up soon.
It's coming up soon. Check the tailgate special and you'll get more details out of that. You know it was last week. Just go for it.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that wraps it up. We gave our ratings.
So
we gave our thoughts. A very interesting one this week. If you can't get your hands on this one, look out at your local microbrewery for a second running and just try to get that experience, because I think it's worthwhile. See how they approach that.
If you can't do that, go to Big Grove.
Yeah.
Just go there.
Go to Solon, Iowa.
And just order something. The beer is delicious, and the food is phenomenal, too. Vegetarian friendly for people such as Mike, but they also make a delightful appetizer called the Potted Pig, which is essentially a little jar of pork shoulder braised until it falls apart and has fat floating on the top of it. It's delicious.
Wow.
That's enough.
That's very Iowan.
It really is. So go
number
to
one pork steak.
Solon. Do it.
Should we do the social media links, Jeremy? Do you want to take that?
We shall. You can find us at APM Pod on Facebook. You can find us at APM Pod at Twitter. You can find us at APMPod@gmail.com. You can find us at APM Pod at Untappd. You can find us on Google Music. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on iTunes. Hey, stop by and leave a review, why don't you?
Yeah.
Anything helps. So please drop us a line. Tell us what you think about Big Grove, if you have been there. Cough, cough, Aaron. Get in there.
Friends of the show.
Just tell us whatever you want, and look out for that wacky neighbor across the street.
Yeah, I think his name's Steve. Yeah, so thanks for listening, and for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I have been and will continue to be Jeremy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And I'm wacky neighbor Steve. Wee. Gee.